Reporting on politics and public policy is supported by the Center for Western Studies at Augustana University.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Democratic State Senator Troy Hinert serves as minority leader in the South Dakota legislature. Democratic Representative Jamie Smith is minority leader in the state house. And today they join us for an update on the legislative session currently underway in Pierre. Senator Hinert, welcome. Thanks for being here again.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lori.
Representative Smith, thanks for being here as well.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Lori.
We're going to dig into some things that are already underway and then talk about what's next in the state legislature. But Senator Hinert, I want to talk first about this Indigenous Language Bill and the process of bringing that forward and really expand that a little bit to what it means to a lot of people in South Dakota. Tell us how it began.
How it began is I saw some model legislation out of Hawaii, or I saw a news article that Hawaii had adopted an indigenous language. And I thought, why haven't we? And especially in South Dakota. So we did some research. Only Hawaii and Alaska have passed indigenous language legislation. Nobody in the lower 48 has passed anything like it. And in South Dakota, all nine tribes are part of the Ocheti Shakoi. So we're all relatives. It's not like other states where they have, you know, different tribes, you know, different languages. So we brought the bill, and I thought, well, it, you know, has some potential. And then at the hearing the other day, you know, we had probably 30 little kids travel all the way from Red Cloud, you know, in freezing temperatures to really be part of history. And they did such a good job, and it was such moving testimony. You know, it may not mean a lot to some people in South Dakota, but to our population, you know, it's a huge, huge step forward.
The testimony itself, Senator Hinert, is significant in the fact that so much of it was done in, you know, indigenous language. What was it like to sort of be in that space and hearing people tell their stories in a language that at one point in the state was, you know, there was a pretty intensive intended eradication of it?
Yeah, that you could feel it in the room. You could feel the excitement. You could feel the pain. You could feel the hope. You know, one of the testifiers came up and introduced herself in Dakota and spoke for probably a good 5 or 6 minutes in Dakota without saying one word of English. And then she said, when I started school, this was the only language I spoke. And as confused as you were with what I was saying, that's how I felt at 6 years old when I first went to school. And that was pretty moving for the committee to see, you know, a grandmother and her grandson have a conversation in Lakota in front of the committee. It just brought back so many special memories, you know, from my childhood. And, you know, I couldn't imagine there ever being more native language spoke in this building.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great.
Yeah. It must take some courage. First of all, it takes courage to enter, you know, that building and testify at all. But, you know, with an upbringing where you maybe were not allowed to speak the language or were criticized for it, it also takes courage to stand there and speak, but it's also incredibly empowering. I want to talk a little bit about what happens if that bill, you know, do you expect, first of all, Senator Hinert, Governor Noem to sign it if it gets to her desk?
I would sure hope so. You know, everybody that we've talked to, we haven't found any opposition. And there's really no need for opposition. This is just recognizing, you know, the first people of South Dakota. And, you know, our language kind of went underground for a while when it was trying to be eradicated. And now that we're promoting it and using it in schools and then the state recognizing its importance. I think great things are going to come from it. And not only just for Native people, but for the rest of South Dakota.
Yeah. I want to bring Representative Jamie Smith into the conversation, and let's broaden the topic a little bit and talk about some of the work that's been done, some of the conversations that are going on, some of the priorities that you've seen rise and fall. Where do you want to begin, Representative Smith?
You know, I'd like to start out by just stating that from the Democratic perspective, we're here to talk about South Dakota issues. And we really believe that our legislators are bringing forth just issues that matter to South Dakota when it comes to healthcare issues or education issues or be they mental health issues. And we really have seen some great bills come out of some of our Democratic representatives. A nursing home bill, HB 1060, I'd love to talk about that. Ryan Swack's 1236, which is an autism therapy bill, also I'd love to talk to you about, pre-K a little bit, and Aaron Healy's bill, House Bill 1175. I guess those are things that what we're hearing is these are things that really, really matter to advance South Dakota, and that's what we've been trying to talk about while we're here in the Capitol.
Okay, we'll get back to some of those bills specifically in a minute, but Senator Heinert, are there other bills that you want to try to address during this time that we have together that I should make a note of to make time for?
Well, I think in the Senate we're finally getting into our bills. We had a lot of agency bills, kind of almost fluff bills. The hemp bill's coming over from the House, so we'll be debating that. I have a bill up to include shelter belts, like what we did with riparian buffer strips, more of a habitat, a soil conservation. Hopefully that gets some traction to provide a tax break for producers who are protecting, the South Dakota that we know and love. So, we're getting into the meat of our calendar, I would think. There's also 46 vehicle bills out there, and we don't know what those mean yet. So, that's an issue. I've never seen that many vehicle bills in any legislative session. So we need to get control of that and then get some language into those bills to see what people are trying to do.
All right. So is there any notion of why there are 46 vehicle bills this year? Is it an LRC situation? Is it lawmakers? Is it a strategy? What's going on?
I think probably a combination of all three of those things. Our bill deadlines come up pretty fast. And if you don't have your language back, you can't really submit it, but you need to hold that place so you can put your language into your bill. Mm-hmm. Some of it could be strategy. I don't mind a vehicle bill that says, one that is fairly specific in its title, what you're trying to work through. I understand that process. But when we have bills that say an act to enhance South Dakota, well, what does that mean? And who are we trying to enhance it for? That, I think, is a problem.
Mm. All right, Representative Smith, let's start with the nursing homes. Is that HB 1060?
You bet. That got a hearing in Health and Human Services, and actually we passed that out, and it went on to, we passed that on to go to appropriations where it needs to be talked about for the funding. But I think it brought up the crisis situation and put it to the forefront that there really is a crisis in our state when it comes to nursing home care, and reimbursement rates is one big part of that problem. We will make sure that something happens this legislative session to address those issues.
What does that bill intend to do? How does it intend to address the crisis?
That bill specifically asks for $8 million be allotted to help increase the reimbursement rate for Medicaid patients in the nursing care facilities.
Jamie, are you finding, you know, when you have that conversation, you know, Governor Noem didn't mention it in her State of the State. That was something that everybody mentioned that she didn't mention. And then it came up in the budget address. What's the sort of buzz among lawmakers? Were you getting a really positive response to that? Or are there significant challenges to overcome?
You know, I really do believe that on a bipartisan level, people understand that there is a problem and something needs to be dealt with. Of course, the issue we run into every year here is where do we find the funding to do the things that we need to do? And when we have a limited pool of resources, we need to, you know, make sure that we're spending that money wisely. But that's going to be the issue. If we do get that money, what's going to give? And we just, it's about priorities, and I believe it's time. And I believe there is a will to do that. The question is how close we're going to get to what we need to actually address the issue.
Do you find that there's a lot of other things that you wish would just, you know, not are there distractions, you know, legislatively that you have such a short time to sort of address some of these comprehensive problems?
Yeah, you bring up a very good point and a very frustrating point, I guess, to me and my colleagues in our caucuses. You know, we spend so much time and energy dealing with things like Senate Bill 49, that transgender athletic bill that was killed in Senate committee, and then it reappears as a House bill to be talked about again and take our time and energy. We constantly have solutions looking for problems that don't exist in our state. We have another one that has to do with gender dysphoria that we're coming to the House floor, and it's again not an issue in the state of South Dakota. Teachers don't want it, administrators, school boards, nobody's requesting this legislation, yet we deal with these in our committees. Our committees are sometimes acting as a school board should, and here we're bringing these issues that one individual may have and taking up our time when we really could be trying to solve some of these really big South Dakota problems.
Representative Smith, tell me about HB 1236.
HB 1236.
Did I get that right?
Representative Schwach from Yankton. Yeah. That's an important bill that would help certain children in our state that have autism receive the necessary therapy that they need. They've recently been excluded from being covered by their insurance. And I've talked to two individuals just this last weekend where the child has not been able to get their therapy and they're regressing. It's a very intensive form of therapy for these children. And without the ability to pay for that, these kids aren't getting that therapy. And it's a detriment to that child and then to that family.
As I understand it, that regression can be permanent.
That's
is that how
fear.
You're hearing it as well?
That's what the families have shared. Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a medical expert, but I have heard the same thing. And I guess we know each other from us, but education has always been a priority of mine, and then helping children. And if we can anything we can do as a state, we should help the vulnerable. And this is definitely one population that, as a state, we can make a difference.
Switching gears a little bit, Senator Heiner, let's talk a little bit about that hemp bill. This has been a conversation in the past in the State House. It hasn't gone very well hasn't gone very far in the past. Things have changed on the national front regarding hemp and the new farm bill. Tell us a little bit about hemp legislation and where it stands now.
Well, so The hemp legislation, you're correct. We haven't gotten a lot of traction with it in years past, but we had a game changer with the farm bill. You know, it's legal for states to grow, manufacture, process, and transport hemp and hemp-based products. So, and I think that has opened the eyes to a lot of our colleagues. Because they've always said, well, you know, as soon as it's legal federally, then we can support it. Well, it's legal, so let's support it. Let's start looking at what does this look like for South Dakota. Now, granted, we have some state statutes that now are in conflict with federal statutes. I was a little surprised at the governor coming out against the hemp legislation this year, especially when, you know, she just voted for it when she was in Congress in December. So that kind of took me back a little bit, but I think there is plenty of support in the Senate. Now, we saw the vote from the House yesterday, so I think we're going to see this pass.
Hmm. What are the potential economic impact of it passing? You know, when we first talked about the Farm Bill, a lot of people, it's sort of interesting, Tori, as we, you know, before the Farm Bill changed the game, when we would talk to people, they would really talk about how they were poised to sort of take advantage of this as soon as it happened. After the game changed federally, and we asked people, some of them were saying, well, we're not sure if it can even grow here in South Dakota. So there seemed to be some sort of hesitation, even when the door opened a little bit. What do you think is causing some of that sort of that pause at the moment when it, other people would say, hey, it's time to move forward?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to why the pause. I think it was sometimes we're in situations where, yeah, we want this, this, and this, and then when we get it, we don't know what to do. Well, and we should, I think if we would have been If we would have done our jobs, you know, a couple years ago, we could have been ahead of the game. And as soon as and put that trigger mechanism that as soon as it was legal in South Dakota, we would have been able to roll it out. You know, what is unique in the Farm Bill is that tribes are now specifically listed. They're just like a state. So, you know, they can get into this manufacturing and use it as an economic driver. You know, for tribal nations. So, you know, we need to take a look at this. We need to understand, you know, the transporting and the testing piece of it. But just because there may be some issues doesn't mean we don't try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we work through that. We need to get rid of some of our legislation that is in conflict with the Farm Bill. And go from there. We're not going to know until we try.
Representative Smith, you mentioned Aaron Healy from District 14 and a pre-K bill. Tell me a little bit about that. All right, hang on 1 second because I think, Jamie Smith, we can't quite hear you. You want to try again?
Am I here
yep,
now?
There we go. Thank you.
Oh, sorry about that. The Pre-K Advisory Council, Bill 1175, House Bill, does just that. It sets up an advisory council where once the only state, if not one of the only states, that does not have this. We are way behind when it comes to providing early childhood education. And this council is set up to see where the needs are in our state, how we can address these needs, where we can find public and private partnerships to address these needs. And this is just a very first step that has to be done in order to move forward on this issue.
How challenging is it to take that first step in South Dakota?
It's a real big challenge. Yeah. There's a lot of different people out there that have different viewpoints on what the state's role is in educating our youth. I would contend that making sure that all students are ready to learn when they get to school would be a huge plus for our state. You know, I've seen the studies out there that say that for every dollar we invest in a child in early education, it comes back sevenfold. And it's a long-term view. Lots of times here, we're challenged with our budget, balancing that budget on a yearly basis. And so having a long view is often difficult. It's past time to do something in this regard. I come from a family of educators, and in talking to elementary educators, when kids aren't ready to learn and they're behind, it's always a problem for them throughout their educational career. We want children to be successful. The other part of this, you know, on the long range look is, the last number I heard was over 400 kids that. They're waiting in line for like Head Start in Sioux Falls alone. That's unacceptable. We need to do better. We need to do better, and this would be the first step in doing that.